Alleluia, Christ is risen. Or is he? So they went out and fled from the tomb, for a terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That doesn't sound right this Easter morning, does it? When I was in high school, I fancied myself to be somewhat of a writer. When I was a sophomore, I wrote a mystery story for my English class. I loved the idea of suspense and intrigue, of leaving the readers sitting on the edges of their seats. So I wrote this story about a girl who was trying to solve a mystery, and she finally found out who did it. So to me, the mystery was pretty much solved. Of course, after she confronts the villain, he comes after her, and the last scene has her hiding in a very dark broom closet with a heavy mop in her hands. And as she hears the door slowly creak open, she could feel the breath of someone just a foot away from her. So she clenched the mop in her hands, and with all her strength, she swung. The end. Yeah, there's a good reason that I write about Jesus now. My English teacher, Mrs. Sibbick, read it and said, "What was that? You can't end a story like that. We don't know the ending. Suspense is good, but you can't just leave the ending up to people's imaginations." Well, I'm afraid that Mark didn't get that tip in writing 101, because that's just what he did. The last bit that I read to you, "They said nothing to anyone for they were afraid," was the last thing Mark wrote. There's no running to tell Peter, the disciples. There's no bumping into the risen Jesus in the garden. There's no doubting Thomas, no Jesus eating fish by the sea, no alleluias or trumpets or Easter lilies, just a few women silently fleeing from the tomb as fast as their terrified little legs would take them. And that's not the ending we want. This is Easter. We want to see Mary jumping for joy, shouting to Peter that Jesus is risen. We want to see the risen Jesus standing and greeting his friends with peace, showing the world that nothing could keep him down. And apparently we're not alone. Apparently, even in the early church, there were Mrs. Sibbicks who read the story and said, "What is that? You can't end a story like that. It'll end much better if I just add a little bit to the end. Nobody will ever notice." So at least two different people added their own endings to Mark's gospel, both of which you can find in Mark 16. The first one goes like this: "And all that had been commanded them, they told briefly to those around Peter. And afterward, Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation." Not sure that ending's a whole lot more Easter-y. But then there's also a longer ending that talks about Mary Magdalene seeing the risen Jesus and telling people, but they all struggle to believe until finally they get to see him. Then Jesus sends them out to tell the world, and he ascends into heaven. But whether Christian monks or modern-day Christians like us like it or not, Mark really ended his gospel leaving us wondering. Will the women really keep quiet forever? Will the risen Jesus ever appear to the disciples? Will they finally believe that he's been raised from the dead? And what will happen to everyone who had come to believe in Jesus? When I was a teenager, I babysat a couple kids named Kyle and Marie. Kyle was very bright and precocious. He had no time for childish fairy tales or girly princess stories like his little sister Marie loved. He wanted to read more interesting, complex books about real people like pirates and wizards and dragons. So before bed, Kyle would get dressed up in his pirate costume, Marie would dress up in her prettiest princess gown, and the three of us would sit together on the couch and we would read Kyle's books about kidnappings, ogre battles, and medieval feuds, which made him very happy. Marie didn't really understand the stories, But no matter if the ogres won the bloody battle or if the knight chopped off the dragon's head, Marie would always end the story with, "And they lived happily ever after." We like stories to wrap up neatly, for the good guys to win, for justice to prevail, for the heroes to ride off into the sunset together, and happily ever after. But Mark doesn't give us that. He gives us the big question mark about what will happen in the future. We don't know that the people who hear Jesus risen actually get it. In fact, that tends to be a bit of a trend in Mark. Any time in Mark when Jesus tells his disciples who he is, they don't get it. The very ones who know Jesus and know the Messiah is coming are unable to see that Jesus is the one. However, the demons get it. They see clearly who Jesus is, and they're more than happy to blab to the world that Jesus is the Messiah to get him in trouble. The only beings who know Jesus' identity in Mark are those who you can't count on to tell the world about God's grace. That's a little more than frustrating. The people who should know who Jesus is don't get it, and those who do know can't be trusted to tell the world. So I figure maybe Jesus needed to pick a better group of disciples, people who actually listened and understood what in the world he came to do. You wonder if Jesus ever prayed to God and said, "You know, this crop isn't doing so well. Why don't you bring me back up there? We'll call this one a dry run, and we'll pick a new bunch of disciples and start over. Next time, it'll be philosophers instead of fishermen." But that's not what happened. Jesus didn't choose the biggest and brightest. He didn't choose scholars and geniuses. Jesus chose normal people, real people, to follow him. He ran the risk of them not getting it, but that was a risk he was willing to take. Jesus didn't come to be understood and celebrated. He came to heal. He came to teach about God's grace. He came to show the mighty power of God, even if his followers didn't understand what he was doing. Jesus came to die on the cross for them, even if they didn't have any idea why it was necessary. And Jesus rose from the dead for the salvation of the world, whether or not those three women at the tomb ever told a soul. But I must admit, it's still frustrating that people who saw with their own eyes the stone rolled away from the tomb, with the strange man inside who told them that Jesus was risen, that they don't get it. Or if they do get it, they're too paralyzed with fear to follow the directions and tell the disciples. They're the only ones who know the truth. They're the only ones who have heard and should share the news. They're the only ones who can tell the world that life has sprung out of death. Or are they the only ones? There's actually somebody else who knows all about Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection. Somebody who wasn't there that morning, but someone who knows who Jesus is and has the ability to tell the world. There's someone else who has heard the news of Jesus' resurrection and truly gets it. That somebody is you and me and everyone who has read Mark's gospel. Mark has written the ending of the gospel in this way to let us know that we are a part of this story. We are those who have watched Jesus' ministry unfold. We are the ones who receive Christ's body and blood as strength and forgiveness. Ours are the lives that are changed by Jesus' love. We are the ones who are the witnesses to the resurrection, who have heard the call to tell the world of Jesus' new life. And we are the ones who have the courage and the opportunity to do it. We are the real people Mark is counting on to spread the good news of Jesus' resurrection. Mark is relying on us to pick up where the women left off, to tell the world that Christ is risen. And ours is a world that needs to hear that news. Ours is a world that hungers for that. We all know people in our lives who are struggling, in pain, poor, broken, grieving, and hopeless. They need hope and grace and love, which can be given by our risen Lord. There is still suffering in the world, but Christ has risen to give us strength to persevere. There's still sickness, but Christ has risen to be our ultimate healing. There is still grief and loneliness, but Christ has risen to walk with us. There is still desperation and fear, but Christ has risen to give us the courage and the faith amid our doubts. My friends, we know that Christ has been raised for us, and Mark has made it our job to tell others how Jesus is risen for them. Because we are a part of this Easter story. We are the ones Jesus died for. We are the ones Jesus rose from the dead for. We are the ones who know the gift of forgiveness and salvation thanks to our incredible God. This story is ours, and it's ours to share with the world so that Christ's life-giving power may grow and flourish. So, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.